I'm Sori.
That's Booby.
And Vita and Chip and Culpy.
Iron. Iron Maiden.
Yep.
Can't take light totes, tote iron.
This one had a big black bar.
Was told to shoot out, stay low, and keep firing. Keep extra clips for extra shit.
On our VinandSori.com.
Who's next to flip on that cat with the grip on rack? The most shade. Tell him, Frankie, baby. Ain't no telling where I may be. May see me in D.C. at Harrah's homecoming with my man Capone gunning, smoking something. You should know my steelo. All right. Only the real hip-hop heads know about that. Still a classic after more than 20 years. Shout out to the big homie B.I.G. Best rapper of all time. Undisputed. Even Bart Ehrman said it.
What? Is that a joke?
It's a joke.
Oh.
Anyway, Poskendale, Iron Maiden. It's about jihad. It's about war, so it should be interesting. I've been avoiding this song.
You have been.
I don't like songs about war.
No. But I showed him the bar on Patreon. Not Patreon.
No, not Patreon. Our website.
I was working on Patreon just before here, so that's
our website.
On the website. I was like, babe, look at this bar.
Yeah, it's like 35% request.
Yep.
On the main stage. So if you go to our website and sign up at VinandSori.com, it's completely free.
Yeah.
It's
you put in one request. Run one request per day.
Right. Shout out to our guy that's doing the website for us, by the way.
Martin, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Martin.
Two A's.
Inshallah. Hey, reach out to us, buddy. We haven't heard from you in a while, so.
I reached out to him today.
Let us know if we can do anything for you. But yeah, go to the website, and if you go to the website, you can put votes down, and that's another way that we decide how to pick things.
Yeah.
And it's completely free. You don't need to be in Patreon at all. You know, I know that a lot of people can't even do $1
mm-hmm.
a month.
Yep.
You know, it's like.
So that's a way to get your song in there.
Right. So it's completely free. And if you can get enough people to go to the site, and that's the difference between that and Patreon is that if you're really smart, there's ways that you can.
Don't tell them that.
Yeah, that's true.
What the
heck? Anyway, everybody gets one vote. Here's my filthy capitalist. You capitalist swine.
No, that's like.
What?
Let's keep it authentic. What is really the majority ruling, not who has the most friends that can.
Yeah, babe, but there's like 91,000 people.
Fine.
So how would we even know?
I disagree with you, but.
How would you know?
We wouldn't know, but you don't want to encourage them to do that.
No, I'm just giving everybody all their options that they can use to get their songs played.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
There you have it.
She disagrees with me again because she's a capitalist. Fine. All right.
Oh, it's not because I'm white?
Kind of go hand in hand. Poskendale, let's go! Shout out to Deacon Haka!
In a foreign field he lay, lonely soldier, unknown grave. On his dying words he prays, tell the world of Passchendaele. We live all that he's been through. Last communion of his soul. Rust your bullets with his tears. Let me tell you about his years. Laying low in a blood-filled trench. Killing time from a day on death. On my face I can feel the falling rain. Never see my friends again. Oh, shirts and more guns fire. Lazarus bodies hang on barbed wire. Bible built nothing but a bloody tomb. They reunited with my dead friend soon. Many soldiers, 18 years. Drowning mud, no more tears. Surely a war no one can win. Killing time about to begin. We'll be right back. See my spirit on the wind, across the lands beyond the hill. Friend and foe will meet again, those who died at Passchendaele.
Wow.
Sounds like quite a war, whatever.
Well.
What?
Yeah, it's World War I. You know there's a band called Wolves of Ypres or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it was fought there. That was where that battle was fought. I'm looking, and you gotta take this with a grain of salt because it's Wikipedia. And we usually don't look stuff up, but I felt like this is like a real event and stuff, so. Mm-hmm. So there's estimates of the casualties, 244,897 British casualties and upwards of 400,000 German casualties in that period, stronghold. Yeah, man, trench warfare is brutal. brutal fighting.
Yeah, when they were explaining, it was like pretty crazy. And then when they were saying, like, I don't know, they were talking about dying and that going to be with their friends because.
Well, and also going to be with their enemies.
Is that what
you said?
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it was friend and foe will meet again. Those who died at Passchendaele.
Whoa. No, I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
I think I've never thought of that because there's always a good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. I know, but I didn't think of that. That yeah, they could. Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, of course, you know, if you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Even if they were fighting for the wrong side.
Yeah.
There's still grace for them.
No, it's true.
But yeah, man. That was like one of the craziest things I've ever read about war. I'm pretty sure with C.S. Lewis, and I'm trying to show you the picture, because there's a picture there, but that's not good enough. But they had these, you know, barbed wire fences, that they make these ad hoc barbed wire fences, and, you know, you were charging, and people would get stuck in these fences.
Oh my gosh.
And I think it was Lewis, he was talking about how he's hearing this kid scream all night. But anytime anybody went over to him, you know, the Germans would shoot at him. So this kid was bleeding out.
Oh my gosh.
And it looks, you know, it kind of looks like you're crucified because your arms are out and you're kind of hanging out and you're stuck. And he was immobile. He got hit in the back, I think. And so they heard the kid they heard the kid all night. You know? And I think actually one of the British soldiers just ended up killing him. Because the Germans were just going to leave him up there to...
Well, so he killed his own person, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so they killed him.
Mercy kill.
Yeah, because they couldn't get to him.
Oh, God.
To help him, and then, you know...
Oh, my word, I can't imagine using a person as a... like a trap to kill other people.
Oh, that's common.
I know, I'm sure that it is, but it's just alarming.
Well, a lot of times there's really good strategy to it, but that was just cruelty. I mean, the kid was out of the fight.
Yeah.
And he was out. You know, there was no reason to do that other than just plain cruelty.
Why? Each time your person goes out, they can kill him.
Yeah, but
picking them off.
Yeah, but nobody was going out.
Oh, right. Once
it'd be one thing if he was an able-bodied person and you're like, shit, we don't want this guy back in the fight, but he was clearly out of the fight.
Right.
But it was just, you know,
it's terrible.
And then, of course, you know, there are countless atrocities that we did to German soldiers. I'm sure. Mm. You know, and you know, it changes your. Your neurology. When you see that happen to your friends, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh.
So the whole concept of war, you know, it's like the fact that we have a word for it and a category for it, if you really step back and look at it, it's really crazy. mm-hmm. where whole masses of human beings get together to kill each other.
I know.
In just an orgy of destruction. Like,
I know.
Like, but we're just, yeah, war. And then we're, oh, war's bad, and this war, and World War II. Like,
just
we
war.
Say these things, just war, and like, it's three letters, but it's like, it contains the worst of humanity. Mm. And it's,
Yeah, and then when you think, sometimes the goings-on that precipitate the war were so horrific that the war was a mercy thing.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, Civil War. Yeah. I agree. That's why, you know, Kellendross and I have been having this running discussion for probably since the beginning of the channel about Original Sin. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how you can read about last century and not believe in Original Sin.
Yeah.
You know, as far as, like, if you think about the gaps between technological advances, mm-hmm. like, I mean, if you look at last century to this century, all we've done is, like, you know, refine mm-hmm. our technology. You know, your computer's gotten better. We invented the iPhone.
Everything got skinnier.
Everything's faster. Everything's skinnier. It's yeah. sleek. You know.
Yeah.
But if you look from, you know, the 18th to the 19th century, you're talking about going from horse and buggy to 100 years being in the air.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So you say, okay, so with all these amazing technological advances, we become better people. And we bodied the most people we've ever done in a simple, in two wars. I forgot, it was Hardcore History?
That's pretty crazy.
He was like combining all these other great wars in history, and they didn't even equal one day of this stuff. You know, so it's like, when we had this technological boom, which is a, you know, we're evolving socially, or whatever you want to say, it didn't follow with our morality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, you know, the primitive caveman who smacks somebody over the head because he wants the brontosaurus burger. You know, look at that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, if he spoke in a fluent language and had a suit and tie, and, you know, because
it's
all...
You would think that the advancements would bring...
Yeah. The advancements made us more efficient killers of each other. I don't understand how. And to me, the doctrine of Original Sin is the most clearly verifiable Christian doctrine. Mm-hmm. Aside, I mean, I literally don't.
No, I think that's.
I literally don't know any other thing that is as patently obvious as mm-hmm. that doctrine.
Have you ever had atheists say, "Yeah, that's true," or they don't usually say that?
Well, it's only Kellendross that, because I've said it a bunch of times, and people have been like, eh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not mad at Kellendross, and I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't know where he... Because Original Sin doesn't mean we're as bad as we possibly could be.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that we're necessarily going to be bad, every
yeah.
one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So...
No, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's a pretty terrible stuff, you know, when he says cruelty has a human heart. Every man does play his part. Terror of the men we kill. The human heart is hungry still.
No, oh, gosh.
It's true. It's true. It you know, it's a very strange thing when you people, I think, naturally have an aversion to violence. But after you engage in whatever level of violence there is, after you engage in it, there's nothing like it.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
There's nothing like it.
As far as excitement, or what are you talking about?
Excitement, adrenaline rush, how you feel afterwards, there's nothing like it.
Really?
Nothing. Not even nothing. That's why you had, you know, Chuck Liddell, even like, forget war, even guy like Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that fight where the guy was like 55 years old and the punches were like mm-hmm. 2 miles an hour and he was clearly done,
mm-hmm.
but
he
could not do it.
Yeah.
Because it's he's trying to replicate that feeling, and you can't replicate that. It's a real thing. People are, you know, so
that's hard for me to, like, picture.
Yeah. You talk to people, they'll tell you. That shit is addictive. For sure.
I mean, anytime I ever got in any physical situations, I never, like... I mean, obviously it was just, you know, it was like growing up, my sister.
Hey, rolling
around. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Now, you never thought your sister was going to kill you. Mm-hmm. You never thought, like, I might die.
No.
Or she might die.
No.
Yeah.
But even those little things, I was always, like, shaking after. And...
yeah, the major endorphin rush and the adrenaline that like, combines with that. Because your body, like, floods you with all this stuff to deal with.
The situation.
But then it's like, there's nothing like it. So,
is it depressing after?
I mean, it just depends on what happens. They killed
like
your.
When you get on those fights or whatever.
They killed your friend, and you killed four of them. You know, you're not depressed. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, right. I was reading in that book where those guys, Team 3. They had just got done an all night op. And then one of their guys got hit. He got injured. He didn't even get killed. He got hit.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yo, the guys that did that, you guys are off shift. But no. The guys that did that, they all shoot it up and went back out.
Right.
Just because they hit the guy in the leg. That shit hurts, getting shot in the leg.
Yeah, I bet.
It cooks you. Mm. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah.
It's hot.
It's pretty terrible. It's terrible.
That's
stuff.
That's so gross. I never thought of that.
So it makes, like, people who are otherwise good people. Like, when I talk about pacifism, people are like, oh, you know, if somebody came in your house, you'd blow them away, blah, blah, blah. And it's like I always say, like, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to just go kill someone.
Right, right.
And people don't just drop, like, in the movies. They don't just go, unless they don't just drop and then they're silent. That's not how people die.
Right.
So, it's a terrible affair. I was reading this thing of world, you know, they shot this guy, ran out of bullets, they were both, the guy was hurt, and then there was like 3 inches of mud, and he killed the guy by, you know, drowning him basically in the mud, because he was out of ammo. I mean, it's like, it's insane, the stuff that, you know, and then you, it changes you as a person.
Oh, well, how could it not?
And then some of these guys are like, man, forget it. I'm just gonna go back and keep going back until whatever. But I always find it's the people that have, like, never really engaged in a lot of violence that are against pacifism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Lewis, he went down and did jihad for whatever. He came back and became an author.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Tolkien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing with my favorite author, the dude that wrote Catcher in the Rye, Salinger.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys came back and was like, totally different. Like, I'm going to do something completely different.
Write a book.
I'm going to write a book.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Tolkien and Lewis, you're like, yeah, Salinger, it's like, Catcher in the Rye is nothing about war or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like in the background, but it's not like, whereas, you know, Narnia and obviously Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but that was the loss of innocence.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that fits right in.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man. Good Lord, what a terrible... You know what's crazy that always gets me is this line right here. Unknown grave.
I know.
Because there's probably been about, like, hundreds of millions of soldiers from the beginning of human history. You know, when we figured out that, you know, when the Sons of Cain started to spread around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had, was it Genesis 5, was it Lamech?
Yeah.
And Lamech is bragging about killing a dude for stepping on a shoe. And then it said violence began to spread over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
Oh, from the beginning of time, homie.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
And then people had to say, oh, shit, these people are particularly violent.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't match their violence with equal and superior force, they're going to wipe us out or enslave us.
Yeah.
So we need to get together and fight them. Shit, they really know how to use that club in a way that makes it so that they're always winning conflicts against us. So we need to figure out how to use club. And that's where you get, you know, martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where you get martial arts. You know, it's like... You know, using weapons, your gun game, all that. That's all martial arts. It's all the art of war, is what martial arts is. So it's like we all kind of like figured it out. Then there's always a warrior class. I was talking to my Hindu buddy. He was talking about the war, one of the incarnations of Krishna.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it was one of the spookiest moments in my life. Talking to that. Shout out to the big homie, AVD. But he was talking about one of the, we were talking about the the manifestations of Krishna or whatever, and one of them was a warrior. And he said, he goes down and he slays the wicked and he enjoys it. And then he had this big smile. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit. Yeah. And I'm not saying he's necessarily wrong, per se. I was just like, the way that he said it was like weird, because I'm like, that guy's never heard a fly in his life. But here he is smiling about the destruction of the wicked. Like, there's reasons that God told Abraham, you're not going to enter the promised land for another 400 years because the sins of the Amorites has not yet been completed. Like, there's a reason that God waits to go and destroy people. There's a reason that America's still around.
Right.
We do all the evil shit that we do.
Yeah.
Because that's no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it's a crazy thing that we're just, that we're just used to that word is in our vocabulary. Now, what are we going to do? Not have it in our vocabulary?
No,
it's there.
Yeah,
it's there. What are you going to do? This was a really interesting line. Blood is falling like the rain. Its crimson cloak unveils again. The sound of guns can't hide their shame. And so we die in Paskendale. I thought that was really interesting. Because think about it.
Is it the shame of the men? What do you mean?
Well, yeah, it's there. It's obviously the shame of the men, for sure.
And what, they're ashamed to be fighting? What do you mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a very deep line. Because what does he mean by shame?
There's so many angles of it.
There's so many layers of that. But
if something happens to your buddy, you didn't protect them, you might feel...
Right. Or... There's a real, when you're, it's a common phenomenon, and no matter how tough people try to be, there's a common theme of wanting to be back home, particularly with your mother.
Hmm.
It's across the board.
Yeah, you see it in a lot of movies.
And so, there's that aspect, but I think, for anybody that's really been in a physical altercation with anybody, let's say that the person's not like the scum of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There is a real... You kind of see it with the UFC fighters.
Mm-hmm.
They knock somebody out, and they're like, yeah. And the person's still on the ground, and then there's that moment when they're like, you did that to another human being. And there's that concern. I think there's a level of shame there, and a feeling of like... And then you did in front of millions of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's like I said, like, a lot of them, they just run around and jump and whatever, but time to time, you'll see them, and they'll... Like when What's-Her-Face knocked out Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that because that was like one of my first few fights to see. And like, was that the one where she kind of like, almost like jumped on her and like, which one was the one where the girl like, clamped on to the other one?
I don't remember. That wasn't the
one. And she
one.
Was, she cried. She
that
was emotional.
Yeah, that wasn't the one.
Which one was that one?
That was the last one we just saw. That was
No.
Cyborg versus...
No, it wasn't that one. It was a ways ago, because...
Oh, it definitely wasn't the Rousey fight, because Ronda was out for a while. She didn't want to talk to homegirl at all. But, it's like...
You showed me one. But you know what? You were showing me a bunch of stuff that wasn't, like, from now. It was, like, spanning all this time.
I was talking to a guy one time, and he said, they were out in this poppy field in Afghanistan, and there was a group of insurgents, whatever, Mujahideen, whatever, and they lit them up, obviously. They were combatants for sure.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, man. He goes, yeah, and he kept telling me, he kept saying that the guy had sandals. He's like, yeah, this guy, we rolled up on him, and he dead checked him. He's like, yeah, and, the guy had sandals. He kept going back over and over again about how the guy had sandals. Of course, he was in
full gear.
Not like regular issue shit. He was in, and he was highly trained. And,
yeah.
and this guy's got his AK, and the thing wasn't even sighted properly, and da da da, you know, and he just kept talking about it. But you know, all intents and purposes, the guy is a combatant, but I could tell that he felt like, you know. So it's people never talk about that, but the shame of like being the victor, the shame of you killed another human being, and then you get home and people say, "Did you ever kill anyone?" It's like, a lot of times dudes are embarrassed to admit that they did that shit, especially in modern wars where the lines are not as clear as we are fighting Nazis.
Well, yeah.
You know, when you get intel that, you know, Maktar al-Sadr...
Well, some of these are people are forced to fight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maktar al-Sadr goes to a village and says every fighting age male is either with us or with the Crusaders.
What are you going to do?
You know, and so that guy, well, if you don't hit that guy, he's going to hit your buddy.
Right.
And you're going to have to tell his pregnant wife that, you know, so-and-so isn't home because you felt bad for Abdul over there. I mean, it's no joke.
No.
It's like, no, it's a terrible situation for people.
I don't know why. I think it's like... Because we watched that, what was that movie that we watched where the guy, like, kind of lost it in the jail because the Muslim guy, like, lied to him?
Yeah.
What was that one? Do you remember?
It was like an independent movie almost. I forgot. But it was about the Abu Ghraib stuff.
Yeah. Well, when I was watching that, and then, like, I remember, like, when he got back home and the family was asking him stuff, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, yeah, it's just, like, something that you ask. It's like... You know, when you find out somebody passes away and you say, well, what happened? Like, it's not really the best question to ask, and I don't know why we ask it. Or if there was, you know, if somebody commits suicide, the same thing. People always ask, well, how did they do it? What happened? I don't know why we ask that question. Like, how is that going to help anybody? But, you know, we do. And, yeah, the soldier thing, asking him, did you kill anybody? I can see how it's a very stupid question to ask. And a very intrusive question. But... Nonetheless, I don't know why people ask the question, but I've seen people do it all the time.
I get it. Rush your bullets with his tears. You asked that question.
Yeah, I know. I said we. I didn't say them. I said we. Yeah.
Rush your bullets with his tears.
Like, I have to tell myself, don't ask those questions. You know?
Rush your bullets with his tears. That's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrible situation. That trench warfare thing was the confluence of like old ideas about war strategy and then new technology of ways to kill people. And they like coalesce together in the most horrible. We'll never see something like that ever again because we're a lot more intelligent about how to do jihad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a terrible situation. It was a sea of death. You know, it's crazy. Like, you see, like, Lone Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get a close-up of, like, you know, guys dying in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible situation, but that's happened hundreds of millions of times over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's, to some degree, it's probably God's mercy that 99% of the folks who have died in war are unknown to the normal person, because the weight of that is too much for the human soul. You know, that stuff sticks with you for... The first time, you know, Black Hawk Down was like a real, like, literally life-changing, life-altering event for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so close to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I'll tell you what. Like, Randy Shookhart, Gary Gordon, like, that was my, those were my role models, those were my, you know, but again, it was two guys that died in a pretty terrible situation.
Yeah. Yep.
But, and it's death, you know, you can't measure it, but the way that these kids died was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the weird thing about war, is like, it puts you in a situation where you know you're gonna die. Like, most people... You know, it's like, Well, let me amend it. It puts you in a situation where you know you're going to die young. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And not many people are in that situation.
Right.
So, it's just it's a crazy thing. And I have to believe that, you know, God is there in some strange, special way for people that, that die alone in those moments, believer or not.
I don't see how he wouldn't be.
Yeah.
He was there at their conception, you know?
Yeah, right.
So why would he not be there as they expire? I don't know, I just...
Yeah, no, I agree.
But, you know, like... Yeah, I don't know. It's such a horrible thing to say. Never mind.
Good song, though. I don't like songs like this, but I think that they're important. The last one we did was like a Motorhead song. Mm-hmm. Pretty much a similar idea.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of young men going off to die... like in mass like that is a terrible thing, but mm-hmm. it needs to be. Artists need to keep it in the forefront so that even though they're unnamed, they're still honored in some way.
Mm-hmm.
There was a really crazy phrase that was used on Wikipedia. This guy, British College Casualties with a BEF total for the second half of 1917, neglected to deduct the 75,681 casualties from the Battle of Cambrai, given in the official statistics from which he quoted, were normal wastage.
What?
Averaging 35,000 per month in quiet.
Normal wastage? That's what he was saying? The people? All the people
that
died?
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy, basically saying...
disgusting way of writing that.
Basically saying, like, I didn't track it in the final total because that's just normal... normal wastage.
That is a really disgusting way.
Human beings are...
talking about other human beings.
But at the same time, like, his job is to track how many people got killed.
How can you not do that without...
So he's got to do something to desensitize himself. It's a horrible... it's a horrible business. It's a horrible affair. You know, people who do all this, like, you know... hyper masculine, I'm gonna blow people away if they invade my house, blah blah blah. It's like, alright. Okay. Half of you will freeze up. Half of you get got with your own weapon.
I was gonna say, a portion of you, or is it gonna
not you M Death fan, like I know M Death fan, like I, you know, I'm not talking about you. But you and I both know what I'm talking about. People who've never seen an action a day in their life. But they're talking about going to blow somebody away. All right. Now, I'm not judging anybody for it. I'm just saying, like, I know when people have actually, you know, like, engaged in violence and when they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that have, like, treat it with the sacredness that, mm-hmm. that it is. Whoa.
He's kicking so much right now.
Hello, Ryan. Right? Now you're here, Daddy. Don't go to war. Be a pacifist like me.
Yep.
All right. What do you give the song? I want out of this review. 8.8.
Oh.
Vin out.
Sorry, out.
Gone.